And good morning. Welcome to service today. So good to see you. And thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Many are making their way in. Thank you for joining us online, wherever our church family is, and whether you're at home or traveling and watching on the dashboard. Hope you keep your eyes on the road. And what a joy. Today is the Lord's Day. This is the day, the first day of the week, the day the church meets together because just of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's the day that we offer our worship and our praise. I don't know any greater thing to praise the Lord about than for His great salvation. Our first hymn is a hymn that brings glory to the name of our Savior. Also to the recognition of His wonderful blood that was shed for our sin. That blood that's been applied to our hearts for the cleansing of our sin. Oh, what a friend we have in the Lord Jesus. Truly, glory is due His wonderful name. Stand if you would. Let's begin our worship service with this anthem, "At the Cross Where My Savior Died."
Down at the cross where my Savior died, then where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad that I entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast out poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for another day. Father, it's so great to be in the house of God today. Lord, as we go about our day, we just thank You for everything You give us and thank You for everything You do for us, Lord. Lord, today we know that we're celebrating fathers across the world. Today, Lord, we need to celebrate the greatest Father of all, You. Lord, You gave us the very special gift, Your Son, to die on the cross for all of our sins. Lord, that if anyone shall accept You in your heart, that You free them from all their sins and give them eternal life. Father, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Lord, we don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to live in Your will, Lord. Lord, You give us another great gift. Called the Bible. If all of us would just study and read that Bible and live our life with that Bible, by the Bible, this world would be a much better place. Lord, I ask You to be with our pastor today as he brings Proverbs 1 to us. It's a great message. I had the blessing to hear it in the first service. I'm excited for everyone else to hear it in this service. I just ask You to calm everyone and open their ears and their hearts to listen to what Pastor has to say. Lord, we love You for all You do. Be with us now as we turn around and greet one another by a waving of our hands. In Jesus' name pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to your neighbor.
you hear Brother Jeff playing, "You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you." Hymn taken from the Psalms, the 42nd Psalm, one of the great Psalms of encouragement, especially in the days of discouragement and depression and all those things that we walk through. The lifting of our soul by turning to our God. I trust today that you know His strength and His shield, and He alone is your heart's desire. Wonderful truth in this little hymn. Lift your voice, but let it minister to you as you sing.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Amen. You may be seated. I love that little hymn. So many wonderful truths in that. I love you more than any other. You alone are the real joy giver. I trust you know the reality of that in the Lord Jesus today. Welcome to service, and I'm excited to have you. I had a wonderful 8:30 service as we had our early service. Had some guests, first-time guests in our early service. I see some folks here that I may not know your name and your face. You might be visiting with us. We used to have you fill out a card. Now we ask you to stop by the welcome desk. We'll fill the card out for you and greet you and hear how you heard about Plantation Baptist Church or who invited you. I know that we've had just wonderful opportunities to invite folks to church. And my phone rings or people send me an email or a text and say, "Pastor, I invited so-and-so to church," or "I invited this person to church." And we begin to pray, and what a delight. If you're watching online, and many people are joining us online for the very first time, I would encourage you to check in and make a comment, a positive comment, if you're going to make a comment, and let us know. Check in on the website or put a comment there on Facebook. And I check those when I go home to see who was watching and if you were watching and get your greeting. And it just helps me as I'm able not to see you face to face. I wanted to say to our folks that are watching the sign language and to those that are deaf, welcome to our service, and it's a joy to have you, and what a joy it is to have Miss Marty and the gift that God has given her to speak this language, and I just hope you're blessed today as well. God is good, and He's good all the time, is He not? And He's been very faithful unto our church. Today is Father's Day, and so you must be the ones that have lunch plans. The brunch crowd came at 8:30, and they're on their way. Men, it was kind of hard to get you a gift this year to think about you, so I just went what I want, and the only thing that kind of helps me right now is candy. So I got you a nice candy bar out there. Pick you one up on the way out on the lobby, and enjoy that sometime today. If you have to sneak away from your wife or whatever to do that, then that's fine as well. And just find you a moment today. And when you rip that candy bar open and you pull it down and you go to eat it, I want you to say, thank you, Pastor Hunter. This really means something to me, okay? And we'll enjoy that. And I don't know what your earthly father was like. I don't know if that was a blessing or not, a wonderful privilege or a difficult time. Everybody has different thoughts on Father's Day. The Bible does say that we're to honor our dads, that God used them to bring us into the world, and there is an honor that needs to come, and sometimes that is easier in others than it is in some. But I do know that our Heavenly Father is always worthy of our worship today, and so I trust that you remember your dad today. If he's on the earth, that you would acknowledge him. If he's passed, that you would remember his memory. And if you can thank God for nothing else for your father, thank him that God allowed him to bring you into the world. And if you cannot think anything good about your earthly father, then there's plenty about your heavenly father that you can celebrate today. And so it is Father's Day. What a glorious and wonderful time that is. I want you to be careful. I know we're meeting together, and I know that people are coming, and different people are coming, but we still have some distance practices and measures. And I see on the news where they talk about cases and things that are still out there. Don't get too caught off guard as you come to church. It's very easy just to get around your church family and start hugging and doing all those things. Be careful, be respectful, and make sure that you guard yourself as well. If you want to put your mask on, that's fine. If you want to put your mask on after the service, as we gather close together, that's fine too. But I'm praying. I hope you're praying for the health of the world, or you're praying for the health of our church, and just praying not only for the physical health, but for the spiritual health as well. And so thank you so much for being here. I chose the next hymn for it to be a burden-lifting hymn. The song is I Must Tell Jesus. All three of the verses open up with a description of things that burden us. Trials, troubles, and for the believer, it can be evil that allures me. I still have my old sinful nature, and I will not be absent of that sinful nature until I receive my glorified body. I've been saved from the power of sin, and I've been saved from the penalty of sin. Praise God, one day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. And so evil does allure God's child. The songwriter said, oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. We struggle in these things and we carry these burdens. But the songwriter said that there's one who's willing to carry them for us. And his name is Jesus. And I want this to be a burden-lifting hymn. If you're here today and you have a trial or you have a trouble or you have an evil that is alluring you, I don't know where you carry your burden. Some people carry it in the pain of their neck. Some people carry it through a headache. Some people carry it in their back. Some people carry their burdens in their emotions. I want you to know that there's one that's willing to carry your burden for you. Pastor, I just want Jesus to take the burden from me. He doesn't work that way. He said very carefully that you were to cast your burden upon him. So he's not going to just reach in and take. He's going to wait for you to give it to him. Allow him to help you. Allow him to minister to you. Allow him to do that. I know we desire our troubles to quickly be made an end, and he can do that. And we know that he is a wonderful friend. I love the verse number 2, how kind and compassionate he is. But you must tell Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. When you're singing the hymn, when you're singing and you find that phrase that kind of touches your burden, touches your moment, it's right there in the quietness of your voice. Just kind of say, Lord, I lay this on you today. I can't carry this thing anymore. It's crushing me. It's hurting me. I'm frustrated. I don't know the way through, but this is not something I can bear in my own strength. I have to put this on you. And just literally by faith, to sense yourself putting your burden on the strong shoulders of the Lord Jesus. I promise you, He's strong enough to carry everything we go through. Everything. And He desires to do it. But I must tell Jesus. Would you stand? Would you sing? Let it be a wonderful spiritual moment as you lift your voice.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. I have you be seated for our prayers of the people and our offering. And Brother Rod will be singing our special, and we'll have our Father's Day message. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father God, what great statements. I must tell Jesus, for Jesus alone can help me. It's one thing for Jesus to be able to help me. It's another thing for Him to be willing to help me. And I find not only is He able, He's also willing. Man, Lord Jesus, we just come today to worship You. We come today to say we love You. Lord, I come today hoping that You are the supreme desire of my heart. I face trial. I face trouble. I'm no different than anybody in this room. I face the allurement of my sin nature. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. What a joy and what a privilege it is to find refuge in the rock of Jesus Christ. The shelter that You are in the time of storm. The tower that You are in the midst of a difficult moment. And there is no help like help from Jesus. You've helped us with our eternal life. You've helped us with our sin. You've helped us with peace, with joy, with comfort. You've helped us with light and love. God, many times as we make our way through this burden-bearing life, so easy just to pick up our burdens and try to carry them and think we know best and we can measure and we can handle. And sometimes at the beginning we do okay, but man, they get heavy. It's not long we begin to feel the fatigue and the frustration of carrying our burdens. But You don't want us to do that. You want us to cast our burdens upon You, cast our care upon You, for You care. care for us. Lord, today is a day when it's Father's Day, and we really should be celebrating the care and love of our fathers. Not everyone can do that. But everyone can celebrate the care and love of our Heavenly Father. And so, strengthen us today. Nourish us today. Teach us, feed us today. Holy Spirit of God, help me preach the message today with just power and with simplicity and with wonderful relevance and application. When we leave here, may we leave here earnestly desiring to see it accomplished and applied in our lives. May we be stronger believers. May we be more effective in our parenting and in our homes and in the positions that you've given to us as men. And I beg you for that. Lord, I see guests here today and thank you for them. I pray that they're impressed, not with anybody, but impressed with Jesus. Lord, I pray for our church family that's watching online today. I pray they feel the love of their pastor, the love of their church family. I pray, God, they feel the unity of heart and mind, the power of the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word of God. Protect the airwaves from glitches and all of that today. And may it just be a wonderful day as we meet together around the Word of God. You've been so faithful to provide for us financially. And so we bring your tithes and offerings to you today in faithful obedience to the wonderful promises of the book. Oh, what a delight. We love you. Oh, how we love you. Thank you for loving us first. Bless Brother Rod now as he sings about what a father can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. In our time of off-touring, God bless you, Brother Rod, as you sing.
My father came in, he saw in my eyes that I'd failed again, but with just a few words and his touch, he said I was his child and he'd never give up. Oh, the person he knew I could be. 'Cause my father believed in me. That's what my father would do. He'd say love is so stronger than anything you're going through. My arms are waiting for you. Though it seems too good to be true. That's just my father. That's what my father would do. All of us wish that we had the love that we need from that kind of dad. And I'd just like to show you the way to reach out to fathers who's waiting today for the chances. Just let you know that his heart longs to hold you close. That's what my father would do. He'd say my love is stronger than anything you're going through. My arms are waiting for you. Though it seems too good to be true. That's just my father. That's what my father would do. My arms are waiting for you. Though it seems too good to be true, that's just my Father. That's what my Father would do. Just like Jesus, that's what my Father will do.
Thank you, Brother Rod. What a beautiful presentation of our Heavenly Father. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and make your way, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 would be our text today. Proverbs ought to be, if you still use a book as your Bible, if you use a digital device, then fine. But if you use a book, Proverbs ought to open up pretty simple. We find that much of our reading is done in that book, and it's often used. Proverbs chapter number 1 would be our text. I want to speak to you today a message that I know the Lord has laid on my heart, a message that I'm excited to preach to the men. Ladies, don't tune me out. Don't think about what you're making for lunch or what you're doing or so on. Stay engaged if you could just a moment. There's plenty there for you as well in the message. I love preaching to men. I do. My wife asked me one time, she had a Mother's Day event here at the church and had a bunch of ladies, I don't know, a couple of hundred of them in the fellowship hall, and the speaker canceled at the last minute. And she came to me and she said, I can't find anybody else. It's going to have to be you. That was real encouraging. And so I went into that room and I spoke, and I don't know, man, I've spoken to crowds, I don't know, 6,000-7,000 at one time. Speaking to just purely ladies, that was terrifying. I came out of that and said, don't ever ask me to do that again. And I remember that. But I love to preach to men. And I love the men of this church. And I respect the men of this church, and I respect the heart of the men of this church, and I respect the love of the men of this church. Brother Branch started our Amen Men's Ministry, and I love to go to that thing because the guys are there, and you just kind of get the heart of the guys. And so I'm preaching today, and even though it's Father's Day, and I will be referencing fathers, I'm really preaching to all of the men today, and I want to preach you a message entitled, Five Truths Every Father Should Teach His Kid. Five Truths Every Father Should Teach His Kid. I could give this many other titles. Five Truths Every Man Ought to Possess. I thought about entitling it, Listen to Your Old Man. Listen to Old Dad. Thought about entitling it, Dad, Your Old Dad Does Know Some Things. If you're a father, you may have had to say these to your kids before. But I want to speak to you today on the subject of five truths every father ought to teach his kid. I do believe that most men would not identify themselves as a teacher. I think when a man thinks about himself, often he thinks about himself as a protector, a provider, a lover, a father, a husband, a businessman, a neighbor, a friend, or ties himself to his hobby. But I'm not sure that men think of themselves as teachers. And as I open up the book of Proverbs and I find in the introductory passage of Proverbs, the first six verses, I find that Solomon, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, I do believe is revealing the responsibility of men to be instructors and to be teachers. One thing about a man is he's not going to do something publicly that he's not confident with privately. A man is not going to put himself in a place where he's not sure. Men hate to fail. They hate to be belittled. They do not want you to think that they don't know what they're doing. And so sometimes those things inhibit a man from stepping up and providing some type of leadership. We're living in a day today where I'm hearing from the men of our church and what I'm hearing on the television and the social media platforms. I keep hearing this phrase that I'm having to have a conversation with my kids. And sometimes I've heard people say, hey, I have to have a conversation with my kids about their skin color. I have to have a conversation about my skin or with my kid about how to survive in today's world, how to act, how to do all these things. And the pressures that all of the world is going through right now, and there are some positives to it, many positives to it. And I do think that one positive is dads are talking to their kids and they're having conversations. I grew up with a dad who was a teacher. I'm 47 years old. Man, Pastor, you look young for 47. I saw that in your face, so I thought I'd just acknowledge it. But I find myself still remembering things that my dad taught me. Truths that my dad taught me. I don't know that when I was a kid I understood what he was doing, but now that I'm older, I do. And so I will say things, I've said them from the pulpit, that my dad would teach me when I was a kid. I'm thinking about all kinds of things. He used to teach me that you got to let people be people. He used to teach me certain adjectives and certain ways. And I find myself revisiting the lessons that my dad taught me. I would submit to you that I don't know a more powerful influence on the earth than the instruction of a father. And I think that this is a privilege that men may not be reckoning in its full value. Maybe we feel incapable, maybe we feel ignorant, maybe we feel unlearned, maybe we feel these type of things. But if you are a man and you are a dad or you are a husband or maybe you don't have children but you're the leader of a home, instruction ought to be part of a man's life. Now that instruction doesn't mean that you're king or God or boss, but it does mean that you have the ability to influence, you have the ability to teach. It's one thing to be able to teach, but you have to possess and know what you're speaking about. Solomon understood the power of the instruction of a father. And I just want you to get his heart for a second. Go, if you would, to verse number 8. And you just hear this guy, Solomon's heart for his kid. My son, could be my daughter. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Here you have a wonderful teamwork. The instruction and the law, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, that would be murder. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, that would be a crime. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Oh, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Solomon had grown up in the home of David. David was his dad. When you read verse number one of this chapter, you feel the lineage and the heritage of father passing down to son. The Bible says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Solomon did not grow up with a perfect dad. Solomon grew up with a dad that loved God. He grew up with a dad that walked with God, but he was not a perfect dad. Matter of fact, if you really study David's life, you will find that he was a horrible dad. He showed favoritism. He lacked courage when it came time to confront his kids. His lack of courage in confronting his kids and empowered one of his kids to kill another. David really and truthfully was not a great dad. I want to say this though. Imperfect parents are not an excuse for child disobedience. Imperfect parents are not an excuse for your life to be miserable. I'm 52 years old, Pastor, and I'm still dealing with the imperfection of my parents. Well, if you are a believer, let me introduce you to the grace of God, the cleansing of God. David committed murder. He committed adultery. He was a horrible dad. Yet there were moments when David had walked with God and he had taught Solomon some things. Solomon himself, not a perfect man, the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth, a man that God used to build the temple, a man that God used to give scripture, a man that God met with there in the temple in his presence. And yet Solomon allowed his heart to be turned at certain times. What are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say, men. We're all sinners who need to be saved by grace. None of us are perfect. But your imperfection does not exclude you or excuse you from being an instructor, for being involved in the lives of your kids, for being a man of instruction, a man that's able to teach, a man that is able to lead. That's what the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ is for. And Solomon knew his dad. He knew the mistakes of his dad. He knew his own mistakes. And there came a time in Solomon's life when he had a path to choose and he chose the wrong path. The whole book of Proverbs is about a dad who lays out two paths for his son. And he likens them both to women. Nothing gets the attention of a boy like a girl. So you have a woman of wisdom. She cries in the street with her wisdom. You have a woman of the world, she's in the street, but her paths are destruction and her house is the gates of hell. And out of this father's heart is the desire that his boy make the right choice, that his boy know the blessing of God. And so as the Spirit of God enabled Solomon to write the scriptures, in the introduction of this book of Proverbs, there are five truths there that I think every man needs to recognize today. It ought to be part of our fabric and it ought to be part of the instruction that we pass on to those that we love. Take your ink pen. I beg you to have your ink pen. And let me show you these five very quickly. Then we will read them. All of them begin with the word two, T-O. If you go to verse number two, you see the word two is mentioned twice. Verse 4 and 6, it's mentioned once. In verse number two, it's to know. You might want to underline that. In verse number two, you also have the word to perceive. Verse number three, to receive. Verse number four, to give. And verse number six, to understand. To know, to perceive, to receive, to give, and to understand. These are the goals or the introduction of the whole book of Proverbs. And I think these will be the foundation for men today to understand what we should be teaching, how we should be teaching, helping us to understand if we're in the right direction in our instruction. Let's read, if we would, please, beginning verse number 1. We'll just read 6 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. 5 things, man, 5 truths that I think you should possess yourself, and I think 5 things that you should be able to teach as a man. Number 1, to know wisdom. If you notice in verse number 2, the word wisdom is used, and also in verse number 3. English-wise, it's the word wisdom. When it comes to the Hebrew, it's 2 different words. When you look at the first one in verse number 2, to know wisdom, this is an overall general principle on a skill in living. How to live. The word Proverbs itself means to rule. It speaks about rules or governing. These are rules that are to govern our lives. This is not just Solomon giving fables or quibs or things that have been passed down from family to family. This is the Word of God. And these Proverbs, as the rules of God, are designed to rule our lives. And Solomon said, my goal as a dad, my goal in writing this, is that you, my son, would know wisdom, that you would have a skill in life, that you would know how to live, that you would make the right choice at the right time. Men, this is not something only we are to possess, this type of wisdom. It is something that we are to instruct. Sir, it is your responsibility to teach your home how to have a skill in living. It is your responsibility to teach your home how to live. Now, you and I know as believers that when we think about teaching our homes how to live and an overall skill to life, we begin in verse number 7 of Proverbs chapter 1. Look, if you would, please. The fear of the Lord is the, what's that word, class? The beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Pastor, my kid just can't do life. Then you have responsibility for that. Pastor, my kid's really having a hard time at life. That was your job to prepare them. It's your responsibility. You're to provide that instruction. You're to focus on the fact that it's your responsibility to pass on to your kid a skill in how to live. Not your construction skill, not your finance skill, but the skill in the Word of God. This is our responsibility as fathers. We begin with the fear of the Lord. You're never going to be prepared for life until you're first right with God. And as we begin at the fear of the Lord, of course, that begins with salvation. That begins with the reckoning of our sin. That begins with the reckoning of the Savior. That begins with our understanding there. This is where we begin. If I'm going to prepare my child and instruct my child on the wonderful way of how to live, it's going to begin with the fear of the Lord. Now, I can't teach the fear of the Lord if I don't possess the fear of the Lord. Nobody can teach anything we don't understand ourselves. When I think about beginning with wisdom at the fear of the Lord, of course I think about the person of Christ, but I also think about His Word. Men, here's what I need you to understand. All of life can be found in this book. Everything about life can be found in this book. All of the answers to life can be found in this book. I have a study Bible, and I'm just going to reference it here real quick for just a moment. it lists some of the topics that are just dealt with here in the book of Proverbs. Would you please just listen to this? Topics that are covered just in the scripture. And when you think about teaching your kids a well-rounded perspective on how to live life, and especially from a biblical point of view, we know that begins with the fear of the Lord, but we also know for an authoritative position that begins on the Word of God. Listen to just topics that are included here. Family, death, life, discretion, eating. That's important in our family. Enemies. Pastor, my kid has enemies. Teach him how to deal with it in the scripture. The fear of the Lord. Fools. Friendship. God. Heart. Mind. Home. Presidents. Policemen. Authority. Governments. Laws. Knowledge. How to work. Lazy people. Love. Neighbors. Peace. Poverty. Prayer. Pride. Riches. Righteousness. Shame. Sin. Sexuality. Gender identity. Marriage, sleep, soul, spirit, tongue, words, pain, anxiety, betrayal, distrust, trust, wickedness, alcohol, women, words. Everything we face in life can be found in the Word of God. The instruction of a father to know wisdom, a skill in the overall development of how to learn life, must come from the Word of God. Can't teach something we're not familiar with ourselves. It's interesting, not only to know wisdom, look if you would, men, in the second verse, but wisdom and instruction. This word instruction, if you're taking notes, right beside it, moral discipline. The moral discipline of one's life. Now, the uniqueness about this instruction is this is not classroom instruction. Don't do as I do. Do as I is not biblical. It's not an effective way to teach and instruct. If my walk does not match my words have no value. They have no power. Solomon said, I want my boy to know moral discipline. The only thing that can discipline a man's morals is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not classroom instruction, men. This is relational instruction. This means when your kids are around you, by the way you talk, by the way you relate, by the way you personify, by the way that you move, by the way you do things, you're communicating Christ. You're communicating discipline. Not like a sergeant to his ranks. They're not in the military. They're your dad. They're your kids. You're their dad. But this is not just an academic approach. This is a relational approach. My dad used to say it this way, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. So when my kids are around me, I want them to know instruction. I want them to know the discipline of their morals. I want them to be under the blood in the direction of the Lord Jesus. And I also have to instruct that. Undisciplined man cannot teach disciplined children. Tell me you understand that by saying amen, right? I'm not kicking you. I'm just telling you. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive, number two. This carries with it the idea of discernment, to see. The word understanding in verse number 2 carries with it the idea of the ability to distinguish, the capability of distinguishing. It carries with it an intelligence. Now, I want to say something, and I should get a good hearty amen on this from the men. Praise God, the Bible can make a man intelligent. Right? Because most of us were probably C students. Or you got the same grade the person beside you did. That's how I was some of my life. You put two and two together and you'll come up with 4 on that. Right? Really and truthfully, there is no wisdom higher than God's wisdom. Solomon said, I want my son, I need to teach him how to perceive, to see and discern with intelligence and distinguish. Distinguish what? Between good and bad, truth and false, what's important, what's not important. This is a test that all men with children 11 to 16 ought to always be running. You should always be measuring the distinguishing ability of your kids. Mom, listen to this. Every parent, inside your home, before they leave your home, you're measuring the distinguishing ability of their reasoning. What type of intelligence are they using? Are they using a worldly intelligence? Or are they using a biblical intelligence? Pastor, my kid don't have any intelligence at all. Well, they're like you. Okay, there you go. But measure it out there. It's a distinguishing ability to perceive. Now, we understand that if you're going to begin with wisdom, with the fear of the Lord, and the Word of God provides that, that's where perception comes from. This is a biblical worldview to perceive. Number 3. To receive, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive understanding. But look, if you would, at verse 3, to receive. Okay, so we're teachable here. Teachable. I think there's a beautiful quality about somebody to remain teachable all their life. The moment you stop being teachable is the moment you stop learning. The moment you stop being teachable also is the moment that you stop being effective. Or influential. It's not just for children to be teachable. Full grown man should be teachable as we run into truth, as God enables that, as we grow in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. To run into somebody who's not teachable is to run into somebody who doesn't understand. So to receive the instruction, now here's our word wisdom again. Now this time it deals with wise behavior, wise dealings, good sense. So as a father, as I'm instructing my kids to know wisdom and to perceive understanding, I want them to receive that instruction so their behavior is wise, their experience, expedient, so their dealings are wise, so that they have good sense. I submit to you that common sense came from the Bible. Why do we lack common sense on the world today? Because we lack biblical understanding. To receive the instruction of justice. This is a conformity to God's laws, what this word justice carries with the idea. And we're hearing the cries for justice and injustice coming from the street. And we understand that. We understand what's going on in our society. And but as it comes to justice based on the Word of God, the Word of God is what brings about justice. Jesus is the justifier of men. God is just. There is a justification that happens. And this is what wisdom brings. It brings a conformity to God's law. That is, the Bible ought to dictate everything. The Bible is the final authority. The Bible is the way that the application is. And it's not where I teach my kids that somehow the Bible has to conform. I teach my kids they have to conform to the Word of God. The Bible's never wrong. It's never wrong, men. It's never wrong. So it's not where the Bible has to make changes or conform. And Joey said it right, that I'm not conformed to this world, but I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so as an instructor, whether with children or in the home, with your wife or at the job or wherever, the instruction to receive from justice is, God's word is just. And if you're going to find justice, you're going to find it in the Word of God, in the Word of God only, and in the person of Christ. Judgment, this is a wonderful word. It's the ability to determine right behavior. This is what Solomon wanted for his son. You got this verses 8 to 15. You have this enticement from sinners to come and to murder and to steal and to do all of that. And he wants his son to be able to determine right behavior. Right behavior is Bible behavior. Right behavior is the behavior as the Spirit of God. Dad, you and I are to instruct through words and through practice right behavior. We cannot teach our children right behavior if we do not practice right behavior ourselves. Like a judge determining right behavior. Equity. This is not the equity you have in your house like you get a HELOC. This is fairness. This is fairness in one's dealings with others. It's a powerful moment here to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. The instruction of a father to his children ought to be one of fairness. Don't hate me for this, but if you're a crook, there's a good chance your kid's going to be a crook. I'll take it one step further than that just so you understand. If you're a crook in your heart, probably there's a good chance your kid's going to be a crook in his heart. You may not get caught with your hands. But if you own a business and you're a crook, probably your kid's going to be a crook. If you're a crook in the way you approach things, then fairness in one's dealings. If I'm going to teach my children how to be fair in the dealings with others, I first got to teach them the fairness of others. You will not find equality anywhere more beautiful than you find it in the Word of God. Men, you are the one that should be teaching your children and instructing them and the equality of humanity. Let me give you some places to begin on this. In the beginning, God created. All men and all women are created by God. Okay? If you don't teach biblical creation with equality, that God created men, that God loved men, and God is not a respecter of persons. If you teach that men and women just evolved, then there's going to be competition. Let me just give you an example of this, and I mean this only to the men. If I believed in evolution, of course I think I'm more handsome than all of you. Right? If we just believe in evolvement and progress, then we have the ability to compare ourselves. But if we teach and believe that God made man, he didn't make multiple races, he made the human race. Oh, we have different skin colors, we have different ethnicities, we have different origins, and there's beauty in all of that. But do you know if we cut every man in here, we all bleed one color? We're one blood. So you teach your kid that not only did God create man, but all of man are sinners. All of men find their unity in the fallen world. And then you teach them that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world. Didn't say that God just so loved the white man or the black man or the red man or the Indonesian man or the women or the ethnicities. God died for every man and woman. Equal. You take the most heinous and hatred of men in the history of mankind, and you have to step back and you have to say, God loved them. You cannot name a name in the history of humanity that God didn't love. You cannot name a name that God didn't die for. Two things. Love the Lord with all thy, Lord thy God, with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Men. It cannot be the Broward County school system. It cannot be the legislation of our laws. It cannot be the social media platform. It cannot be the Democrat or the Republican. You are an instructor of equity. And if you're going to teach your kid fair equity, you're going to teach them the Word of God. Number four, to give. To know, to perceive, to receive, and to give. It's an interesting thing he wants them to give. To give subtlety. When I think of subtlety, I think of the serpent. I think of the snake. I go back in my to Genesis chapter 3. To give knowledge. To give discretion. Why would any father want to teach his kids subtlety? What he's teaching here is the word prudence. Write this down. He's teaching craftiness. He's teaching them in prudence and crafty so they can detect it in others. He's teaching this for discretion. That word discretion is the word discernment. It carries with it the idea of setting a man on guard to keep him from being duped. It's interesting. The word knowledge there is it carries with it the idea of the apprehension of reality. Now don't lose me, I'm almost done, but stay, you paid good money for those seats. Enjoy them. Apprehension of reality. Experimental knowledge of God. So Solomon is wanting his boy to be able to detect the craftiness of the enemy. He's wanting him to be able to see evil for evil, Satan moving when Satan is moving. He does not want his boy to be duped. Now watch how this could be duped. Verse 13, please. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. How were they going to get that? They were going to murder. They were going to rob. They were going to steal. They were going to commit a crime. Solomon said, now, when sinners entice thee, I want you to be able to understand their subtlety. I want you to be able to see the craftiness of the enemy. I want you to be able to not be in a position where you are duped. Now, listen very carefully, because if I'm going to get myself in trouble in this message, I'm going to get it right here. Solomon says, I want you to have an apprehension of what reality is. I'm getting tired of hearing God's people say something like this. Well, that's one thing in the church, but out in the real world, Dad, the world is not the real world. The Word of God is the real world. So we're preparing our young people for what we believe to be the real world. I hear this all the time. Well, in the real world. Well, let me tell you about the real world. The streets are paved with gold and the eternal light is the Lord Jesus and we'll forever be with Him. Let me tell you about the real world. The real world is the heart of man. The real world is the Spirit of God. The real world is the Word of God. The real world is the power of God, the miracle working power of God. The real world is the ever-present God. The real world is the spiritual world. And the apprehension of reality is your job to teach so that when the world comes to entice your home, you see the subtlety of that slipping through. And it's your job, sir, not to put your family in a position to be duped. Now, I mean this very kindly, men, but it's not your wife's job. Michael Edwards. Is he here? Mike Edwards gave one of the best testimonies I ever heard about being a real man spiritually. It was in the Amen Ministry. If you're watching online, Mike, I hope you hear this. He talked about how God had been working on him on his responsibility as a man to grow in faith and how to be the spiritual leader of his home. And Mike said, the best way I can reckon what I was doing to my wife was, he said, we would be in our bed at night and a man would break through the door. And that man came in to murder my family, and that man would come in to hurt our family. And I sent my wife to meet that man at the door. He said, that's what I was doing spiritually. Satan was coming into our home, and I was sending my wife to meet him. And he said, that won't happen anymore. Every man in that room felt the moment of, my God, help us. To understand is the last one. To understand a proverb, this is the teaching of God, you know that. To understand the interpretation, the enigma, the words of the wise and their dark riddles. Really and truthfully, when you boil down verse number 6, Solomon is wanting his kid to understand the word of God. He's wanting his kid to understand the dark sayings as far as the depth of them, not the evilness of them. And really, you could just boil it down to this. He wanted his kid to think. To think. He was teaching his kid how to think, how to analyze, how to work his way through the word of God, how to work his way through the interpretation, how to work his way through the riddle. I submit to you, men, that part of our responsibility in the instruction is to teach our families how to think, to teach our children how to think. You know, when you try to think about teaching somebody to think, it's very difficult. You ought to take a piece of paper and a pen and try it and just picture yourself having to get a lecture on how to think. Where do you start? Well, you just think. Can't start there. Well, it just happens. So if you really try to think, how do you think? That'll give you a headache. Let me tell you where you do begin. If you're going to begin to think, you got to begin from some source of all truth. You have to have something to measure, something to think about. You have to have something to base consequences on. You have to have something to base blessing on. You have to think. You ever tell your kid you should have thought about that before you did it? Why didn't you think about it? Forget that. Has your wife ever told you that? Amen, brother. Right? This is where you got to teach your family to think biblically, to have a biblical worldview. Men, the world's different. COVID-19 and the death of George Floyd have changed the world. I don't know that we will ever be different. We'll never be without the difference of what happened there. Time will tell when it will all work out. But you as a man cannot bury your head in the sand and not be involved as an instructor in your home and your family. And you got to teach your people, your family, how to think and how to think biblically. My dad did that to me. My dad taught me how to think. He would confront me about my situations. He never pushed me, but he always brought me back to the Word of God. We men need to understand that we're to be instructors, to know wisdom, to perceive understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety, to give discretion, to give the apprehension of reality, and teach our people how to think. That's fine. Amen? Now, Pastor, my family's all gone. They're grown up. That's okay. They have kids of their own. I sure wish I could do it all over again. No, just start now. Let me tell you how to process a message like this so you don't get yourself in trouble. Please do not go home to your living room, put your whole fam on a couch, set up your lectern, and tell them you're going to teach them a thing or two. You get alone personally with God and you pray. You spend private time with God. You make sure there's nothing between you and the Lord. And you ask God for opportunities to be instructive. You ask God for opportunities to be involved. And when those opportunities come, you provide that instruction to your family. We need this. I need this. Five truths every father ought to teach his kid. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, the burden of Solomon, that his son would not be enticed by sinners, but that he would walk in the way of the wisdom of God. For every Christian dad, that's our heart. Solomon was not a perfect man. He was a sinful man. Many mistakes. His dad, many mistakes. I might have some men in the room today and they just think that they're too mistake-prodden to be able to instruct. No, that's not true. We cannot let our imperfection be an excuse. We just get those things cleansed and we go on. This is not something that we can do apart from the presence of God and the Word of God. But there's no more powerful thing on the earth, I think, when it comes to a man than the instruction of a dad. Some men know success here and some men know failure. The good thing is every man can be for himself. Some men in this room had a failing dad. They don't have to be like that. They have the Bible. They have the Spirit of God. They can begin afresh and anew. Lord, we'll never do these things if we don't walk with you personally, freely. Help us as men. I beg you to do that. Lord, there might be somebody here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Today would be the day they give their heart to Christ, I pray. We'd love to have that opportunity to teach them. Lord, there may be some relationships here today that are fractured, father and son, and I don't know, father and children, maybe husband and wife. I pray today, God, that they would be willing to have those relationships turned over to you. They can't fix them on their own, but they can give them to you, and you can do what you want to do with them. But they can know the burden-bearing freedom of that. I pray that you do that as well. Help us, Lord. Help us to process this message now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song of invitation is one that you know well. Take my life and let it be, Lord. I have the altar open if any man or woman wants to come for prayer. If you want to come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved, we could do that as well. Let's give God an opportunity. Maybe you want to come pray for your home, pray for your kids. Whether they're in your home, out of your home, your grandkids, this would be that moment. Stand if you would. Let's sing our song, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hand and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee, filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite could I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose, every power as Thou shalt choose.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Barrington Rose came forward today. We know and love Barrington. And Barrington has dealt with major strokes in his life. His family passed at a young age. Had to have an immediate brain surgery. And I think they found a brain in there, right, Barrington? He loves God with all his heart, mind, and soul. You see what has happened to his body. But he's filled with God, and he wants to be an instructor of righteousness. Got a beautiful wife, daughter. Pray for Barrington. You see him today, you just encourage him. A lot of people would never think to come to church, and he can't stay away. It's marvelous. Find us faithful. That's the song. All who come behind us, that they would find this. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprint that we leave lead them to believe. Have a great Father's Day. I'll be down front, out the back. Be careful of one another. Enjoy your day. See you back Wednesday night.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light the way. The footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. God bless you all. You are dismissed.